might not even approve of it. It's just a little bit out of control there for the riotous love and kindness that God shows to us. If you just take a deep breath of God's mercy and loving kindness, which other people might think you do not deserve, but it is there for you. That was great. I always thought that I loved the book of Jeremiah. Did you think that too? But according to the experts, it's unreadable. The book is unreadable. You know why that is? It's because there are so many different perspectives preserved in the text from different periods of time. And these are the different kinds of perspectives. Let's start with the chronology. The chronology gets, you're jumping around, you know. And there's a crisis of the nation. Trouble's coming ahead. Some of it's like that, and some of it is, the crisis is here, we are being destroyed. And some of it is, the nation, the temple, the capital, the king and the leaders are destroyed and been deported and scattered, and now what? And then part of it is, there's hope for a return, there's hope, there must be something next. And part of it seems to be, we're already returning, or we're on our way, or we're already returned. But it's jumbled, so it doesn't like start at this and end up here. Different pieces are in different parts of Jeremiah. And to make it even more complicated, the Greek manuscript, the Septuagint, is longer and in different order than the Hebrew manuscripts. And these are not recent things. These are the ancient manuscripts. So like, uh-oh. And there are many perspectives. If you read it, you think, okay, so what is he trying to say? And these are some of the things that you will find in the book of Jeremiah. We deserve this. We have broken our covenant with God, and that's the end of the story. We deserve this punishment. That's it. We also read some of the other parts of it. It says, we want to restore the nation politically and spiritually. We need to return to God's will so that he will save us from this disaster. And then there's other voices or either other places that says, we failed God originally in the kind of nation that we established. We depended on military power and clever political maneuvering rather than on God. Our kings were interested in luxury and pleasure rather than spiritual life. Violence permeates our society. We need a different kind of a nation to begin with. And some of the voices say, did God actually let this happen? Worship of the true God has been disrupted by this. How? We never thought that God would let this happen. What does it mean that God is allowing his people to be totally cut down to the ground? It just doesn't make any sense. During the time of Jeremiah, the nation of Israel was shifting from a time when prophets would speak and people would recite the covenant of God to a time when written documents that recorded some of the, like the minor prophets, some of the prophecies would be written down and preserved, and the book of the law was something that could be preserved in the palace and brought out to read. It was a time when they were moving from what has God got to say today to we know what God has said and let's keep the principles of God. Jeremiah spoke out what the Lord spoke to him. And the people of Israel were saying, all right, Babylon is destroying us. Well, let's run down to Egypt and get some power there and kind of counteract the power of Babylon. Jeremiah said, no, I'm not running to Egypt. This is in God's hands. We're going to accept the destruction by Babylon, and we're going to trust God for something. What a traitor. He was considered a traitor to his people. What is wrong with you? We're not going to accept this. This cannot be God's will. If we kept a journal of our own lives, or if there was a journal of the life of this congregation, we would find many perspectives and many thoughts over a lifetime of a person or a congregation. Because of the reverence within the people of Israel for the Word of God, these various perspectives are preserved, right? Instead of editing it out, all the many voices, there's such a reverence that those different perspectives are preserved in our scriptures. Like I say this probably once a month. Just like we have four gospels, and then we have the record of the kingdom of Israel and Judah, we have it done twice in the Old Testament. God preserves these records, even in Genesis. The stories come out twice because there were different traditions of the stories. Each of us bring thoughts and memories and needs that are necessary for the ongoing life with God. And none of us have the complete synthesized version that can be laminated, put in the closet, and forgotten. It's always living within us. Spiritual formation is one of the distinctions of this community. A lot of congregations have no idea what it is, but you do. This means the life of God with each person and with the whole community, inwardly and in our behavior and interacting with the environment, is something we intentionally, we think about how we're living and what it means to live in the presence of God. Now, do you find that you grow better in times of freedom and ease, or that you grow better during times of distress and when you're like pressed out of your mind? Let's look at the hope and the grief that shape our passage today. Right before where we've read is a really famous one about God giving you a new heart. We all know that scripture. And right after it is the text about Rachel's grief for her son, which is used in the slaughter of the innocents when Herod killed the children. That is right immediately past. So our passage is not as well known, actually, as the one that comes ahead. I was surprised that the lectionary chooses these verses. Just being allowed to return puts the nation back into the situation before exile, with the wrong priorities. Jeremiah has a vision of a nation that is aligned with God's will. Dread, hunger, fear, disruption are in the past, and order and abundance ahead. And here, this is what Eloise brought out, but what will the community be? Will the community be different? Has Israel been punished? Has it been disciplined? Have they received insight? Have they gotten diminished? Why will it be different this time once they are restored? And again, we do not have the answer to that, but here we read that the vision of God that Jeremiah received was individual and community prosperity, and it's a community that includes the generations of life, the young and the old. Specifically, it mentions here that the people of Israel will be coming back from the north. The north was where the enemy came from. It was a ruthless army of only strong men. Now, that's who came and took them. Now coming back, Jeremiah sees a throng of those who are considered weak, people who would slow an army down, get in the way. These are people with some kind of physical limitations. These are women who are vulnerable during war, taken as booty of war, violated, but here they come. Now they're carrying children or they're ready to give birth. They're defenseless and vulnerable. Population is coming. Where the army came, now it's a people of all kinds. Mark 13 mentions, "Woe to those who are giving birth or nursing in that day," referring to the Lord, the day of the Lord, as envisioned by the prophets. This seemingly ineffective army is the people of God bringing life for a new generation, coming with the blessing of God. Everything in the community of faith is based on the promises of God. The people of God are unable to maintain obedience, but God is in a relationship with his people and will not change his mind or abandon them. God punishes the evil oppressor. God reveals the hearts of his own people and brings them to repentance, cleansing them. We read this passage, and here are some things that might be helpful for us, and I'm sure you have thought of other things as well. The very people that a congregation might think would slow us down are vital to the health of the community. You know, and we're all different. The kind of people that we think would slow this congregation down are different. Some people think the elite slow us down because they're into pride and they're not really getting to the depth of the spiritual life. Other people think people in poverty, people who are not well educated, slow us down because they don't have the background. Some people think that strong people slow us down. Some people think weak people slow us down. But when the army of God comes back and when we're restored, the very people that, whoever it is that you and I, like I have my thoughts, you have your thoughts, whoever you think would slow us down are going to be vital for the restoration of the community. They're the very ones that God has brought back for us. We also see in this text today that the orderly cycle of seasons, and I think this congregation is very good at this, the ongoing stable life of the community of God is what God likes. He likes that. It's healthy. It's good for people to live in that kind of a community. We also see awareness of the presence of the people who are around us. God's care is for the whole community while we are responsible for our own covenant relationship with God. Distress and trouble are part of our life as surely as humdrum everyday life. Our true hearts are revealed in how we spend our free time and resources when there are no demands upon us. And our true self is revealed in those split seconds of intense danger and fear where we have to quickly respond to something and we're not prepared. Both times, we show something of our heart. There is no such thing as getting back to normal. We are always changed by what we go through. And perhaps you realize that Israel was not, in practice, a monotheistic nation when they went into exile. Do you remember that? They were very interested in all of the gods all around them. But when they came back from exile, they were no longer interested in those gods. That's what changed the nation of Israel. Theoretically, they only had one God, but they had lots of places of worship. But after the exile, were not interested. They had already been there and done that. We expect God to act. We can't always understand what God did in the past, is doing now, or will do in the future. But as we read this text of coming back, sort of a mixed jumble of people coming back after a period of exile from the city of God, we can trust God without understanding or being sure what it is that God is doing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.